Lester William Pulfis was born in Waukesha, Wisconsin in 1915. He was attracted to music early. He first tried the harmonica, then banjo, and finally the instrument that would change his life and his name, the guitar. He became Les Paul. He discovered jazz and musical history was about to be made. His talents weren't confined to performing music. Les Paul pioneered the development of the solid body electric guitar and multi-track recording. He employed both in the hit records he made with his wife, Mary Ford, in the 1950s. Les Paul celebrated his 92nd birthday this summer. Now, most other musicians would be content to relax and collect an occasional royalty check at that age. But Les Paul is still working. Each Monday, he plays two shows at New York's Iridium Jazz Club. Both shows are always sold out. Last month, a documentary about him was released. It's called Les Paul, Chasing Sound. And as reporter Lars Howell discovered, Chasing Sound is still what Les Paul is all about.
Luckily, it's over here.
With 2 hours to go until the Iridium Club opens its doors, Les Paul is not entirely happy with the echo effect on his guitar.
See, it just makes it.
Although he's been playing a Monday night gig for 2 decades, Les Paul still shows up 4 hours early. Most of that time is spent in a typically thorough sound check.
Maybe if I raise it a little, screwdriver, and I'll just...
And some of the time before the show is set aside for greeting well-wishers, like singer and guitarist Steve Miller.
Dad, what the hell's happening?
You're happening, baby.
How are you?
I'm well. I just finished.
What are you doing?
Well, I just finished doing 4 cities in 4 days, and I'm in town for a few days. And
good for
when
you.
Steve Miller was 4, Les Paul taught him his first guitar chords. The lessons paid off. In the 70s, the Steve Miller Band enjoyed great commercial success. In the documentary, Les Paul Chasing Sound, Miller says he became a musician not for the money, but because Les Paul seemed to be enjoying himself so much.
I looked at what he was doing, and it looked like it was more fun than anybody I'd ever seen, and that was what I wanted to do.
Hey, Les, you can't take it with you. That's one thing for sure. So let me have that guitar, those pedals, and that amp. I said you can't take it with you. That's one thing for sure. Well, you just remember, ain't nothing that a Les Paul guitar can't cure. Come on, Les.
It may be true there's nothing a Les Paul guitar can't cure. The man himself performs in spite of numerous infirmities. His right arm is locked in a permanent 90-degree angle, the result of a car accident in 1948. The fingers of his left hand, which danced up and down the fretboard when he was young, are now stiffened by arthritis. He wears hearing aids in both ears, all of which begs the question, why continue performing week after week? According to Les Paul, it's really doctor's orders.
In 1980, 65 years old, I had a bypass. After the operation was over, the doctor asked me 2 things that he'd like me to do. One is to be my friend, and you promise me you'll work hard. I thought that's what got me in here. I can't believe this.
Recovering in his hospital room after what was in fact a quintuple bypass, Les Paul made 2 lists. One was what he didn't like.
I didn't want to play for big crowds. I didn't want a boss telling me that you ran over 2 minutes. I don't want a guy to direct the show and put a lot of pressure on me. I didn't want to do a lot of interviews. And I had no reason in the world to want to be famous.
In the other column, among the things he enjoyed, he found a surprise.
That the best fun I ever had was in a little joint where I could do what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, play for a few of my friends. It would be great therapy, a reason to get me out of bed. I could always surround myself with young musicians that could play what I used to play or play better than what I played, and I could continue on making new friends.
Many of Les Paul's old friends, including Tony Bennett, the Rolling Stones' Keith Richards, guitarist Chet Atkins, singer Kay Starr, and others, have joined him on stage throughout the years. And as we also see in Les Paul Chasing Sound, the new friends are the ones packing the audience.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Iridium. We are proud to present Les Paul and his trio this evening. Without any further ado, here's the man that changed the music for all of us, the great one himself, the Wizard of Waukesha, Mr. Les Paul.
We know from interviews we did when you were 90 about your various personal physical mishaps. We know you're not playing at 92 the way you did when you were 22.
That's for sure.
How have you reinvented yourself? How have you changed your playing?
That's a terribly interesting question. In the time that you're going through the hard time, you have a chance to rerun the tape and look back and say, I don't know, if I'm going to make a hit record, and nothing I've made so far is a hit record, what am I doing wrong that I'm not making a hit record? And you can think about your playing, and you say, well, you know, I played the run this way. Now, why did I do that? And it dawns on you that there's a much more comfortable, easier way to do it. And that would never have happened had I not been set back.
Les Paul's longtime rhythm guitarist, Lou Palo, agrees. Palo says that those setbacks just made Les Paul even better.
He does play such, like, what we call pearls. Instead of just trying to play a lot of fast notes, the notes mean a lot on a fast tempo song, but on a pretty ballad, they're pearls that he puts in.
Sort of the Count Basie approach.
Yes, exactly. One note here, one note there, and the right note, the correct note.
Let the players know what I'm going to do. That's been my whole life, is always to keep the other people on their toes. They don't dare read a magazine or fall asleep because they don't know what's going to happen next. And so even if I'm telling a story, I'll tell it in a different place, in a different way, so that they're not apt to take their minds off of what I'm doing. And it's that impromptu that the public sees and enjoys so much that they are part of the show. The audience is part of the show.
For NPR News, I'm Lars Howell in New York.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Laura Kranz, Jocelyn Frank, Dave Nogueras, and Rebecca Martinez. Ken Bader is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Rob Byers, with audio engineers Greg Gavin and Melissa Marquis. The reference librarian is Key Molesky. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.
Weekend Edition Sunday is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can listen to any story from today's program or previous programs at our website, npr.org. Just click on the archives. Find out about the music and artists you hear on NPR and discover new music. Visit npr.org/music. And if you've heard an NPR story you like, you can share it with a friend at npr.org. This is NPR.